Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Zion. Now, this is something of a complicated, it's not difficult at all, but it's complicated because it has many different elements. And because of that, I want to go over it once again so that we can get things clear, because there are a lot of different elements that seem to be the same, but they're really not the same. So let's talk about the different issues that we have to keep in mind here in order not to get confused. We have one sugya, which is the din of Tumas Tzoras. Where's the Rebbe this morning? That's the din of Tumas Tzoras. And when it comes to Tumas Tzoras, we have a very special case. First of all, it's the only place where the Torah says specifically, when I say beged, I mean tzemer upishtim. I don't mean anything else, okay? That's number one that is special about tzaras. Number two that's special about tzaras is that it does not have to really be a beged. It can actually be just the threads of the shasi ve'erev, because the Torah says beferish, o b'shasi, o b'erev. Now, normally a thread cannot be makabel tuma. It has to be a beged. That is something that is unique by tzoras. The other sugya that we had is a question of what can you use to put on your sukkah for schach. Now, anything that can be makabel tuma cannot be used for sichuch, another issue. Another question that we just raised yesterday for the first time is when other begadim are mentioned in other sugyas like sherets, where we have an extra posik of ve'abeget, do they include materials other than tzemer upishtim, which will also be considered to be makabel tuma? Now, we also have beget used for completely other issues that have nothing to do with tuma. So let's say, to be mechayev you on tzitzit, the Torah says, al kanfei bigdeichem. What does a beget mean when it comes to tzitzit? We have another issue of beget. And that issue of beged is beged kilayim sha'atnez. Beged kilayim sha'atnez does not say what kind of beged is sha'atnez. It just says beged kilayim sha'atnez lo ya'ale alecha. However, sha'atnez has two completely different parshias in the Torah. One is beged kilayim sha'atnez lo ya'ale alecha. That doesn't talk about lo tilbash. Lo tilbash, lo ya'ale alecha is to have a little bit of something maybe lying over your big toe. Lo tilbash shatnez would mean don't put on a beged of shatnez. There it says tzemer upishtim. Interesting. So we do have another place where it says tzemer upishtim, but there it's not coming to define the nature of the beged. It's coming to define the nature of a mixture that we call kelayim, which is a completely different issue. That's mixtures. Now, all of these things need to also be seen in a different context, which is when we talk about that distinction between the lowest level that we've seen so far is shasiva erev. The next level up is a piece of cloth, or at least we think it's the next level up, is a piece of cloth that is three fingers, shalosh etzbos, which is a loshon nekeva, and it's 3 by 3. The next level beyond that is where it's a piece of material, but it's 3 by 3, but this time Loshen Zachar, Shlosha or Shlosha, which refers to 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. There may be differences between how broadly we will define beged. When I say broadly, I mean broadly we define beged in terms of the material. It may be very different whether we're talking about only Shasiva Erev. Are we talking about shalosh al shalosh? Are we talking about shlosha al shlosha? Now, furthermore, you need to know something else, and that is that according to Rashi, the idea of tvi, which is to say that something is at least spun, Rashi holds is a din specifically in tzemer, not in pishtim. And the reason for this is, and we'll see that Tosfos in certain areas agrees with the overall idea that there's a difference, is simply because tzemer has a very different structure of the shasi threads versus the erev threads. So the finer begotten that is made out of spun wool used thin threads for the main part of the material that you will see, which is the chassis, and use a thicker wool so that it shouldn't be pulled apart when it's thrown with the shuttle for the Erev. Remember that the shuttle puts on a lot of pressure on the thread because of the fact that it needs to be pulled across all of the other threads. Then the other threads are folded over, and then it needs to be pulled across in the other direction. Now that puts constant pressure back and forth on the thread that's in the shuttle. So because of that, the shuttle thread was much thicker and could easily be seen which is the chassis, which is the Erev. But when it comes to Pishtan, remember we had the Gemara that talked about the miracle, Nasalones, you know, they were questioning him, if you claim to be a Gardi, tell us which one is chassis and which one is Erev. And they showed him Pishtan. So as Tarsus points out, that means that normal people could not tell the difference. You needed to be a genius to know the difference, an expert. And that was the test of the expert. And the miracle happened that a female bee landed on one and the male bee landed on the other. So he knew which was male and which was female. Fine. Okay. But the generally speaking, if it would have been Semer, it wouldn't have been that way. Rashi understands that that implication is that you don't even need a darga when it comes to Pishtan of being necessarily spun. It could be Makabel Tuma even if it were not spun. This is Legabe other Tumas. Okay, so now taking all this into consideration, let's remember that the Sugya started off with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar said, you cannot, and this was on Chafav Amid Aleph yesterday, Reb Shimon ben Elazar said, you cannot use Pishtan of 3x3 etzbaot. You cannot use anything like that for your sukkah. And if you used it for your sukkah, kol hayotze min ha'etz, if it's pishtan, then you can't use it. But if it's not pishtan, if there's no din of shalosh al shalosh. Only, now what does that mean? There's no din of shalosh al shalosh means that if I have little cotton pieces of begadim that are 3x3 etzbaot, but they're not shlosh al shlosh etfachim, I could actually use that for schach on my sukkah. That's what Reb Shimon ben Elazar is saying. I cannot use pishtan, but note that when it says pishtan, he does not say chutz mi beget pishtan. He just says you can't use pishtan, period. Rashi assumes that that means you can't use even non-beget pishtan. And the truth is, everyone would agree that that's true if, Lamashal, you would use the threads that were made out of Pishtan, of the chassis ve'erev. Since chassis ve'erev is Makabel Tuma, even though it's only Makabel Tuma tzaras, that itself is enough of a reason to disqualify it for the sukkah, because remember that the sukkah has to be made out of the same Eid Yale Mina'aretz. It has to be made out of the same mist that rose from the early planet before there were Gishamim. And from there, we learn it has to come from the earth and it cannot be Makabel Tuma. Since this can be Makabel Tuma, it is not kosher for a sukkah. Okay. On the other hand, we had the Maimer of Redevei Reb Yishmael. Okay. Now, this is where things got interesting. The Tana Devei Reb Yishmael pointed out that the only reason that we treat Tzemer and Pishtim differently than anything else is because the one place where the Torah identifies the nature of the word beged is by using it as a klal uprat in the sugya of tzaras. So it says over there that if you have a beged and it just says plain beged, ha beged ki yebo nega tzaras, and then it says but Tzemer and Pishtim. That means that I'm absolutely defining with one of the rules, Chater in the Drasha Spam, which is called Klal Uprat. I'm defining the nature of the Klal called Beged with the Prat of Tzemer Upishtim, and only Tzemer Upishtim. And therefore, continues the Tana Devei Reb Yishmael, that means that this is the model for the word Beged. Afko Tzemer Upishtim. Abaye took that to mean that the idea of Rabbi Yishmael is that when it comes to any tumah in the world, wherever it says beged, and it says beged by a lot of different places, it says beged by tumah sheretz, it says beged by tumah shechvat zera, it says beged by tumah's mace. What do those begadim consist of? They have to consist of dafka, tzemer, upishtim, and nothing else. This was the limud according to Abaya, which means that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was basing himself when he said, no, and forget other begadim. The only thing you'd have to worry for your sukkah was if you're trying to use pishtim. Obviously, we can't talk about tzemer for a sukkah because tzemer is not gedulei karka, so it doesn't even enter into the set of sukkah issues, right? But the one thing that we could be talking about were pieces of pishtan. So pishtan you cannot use, but you can use any other material. Gee, says Abaya, where did he get that idea? Must be that he holds exactly what the Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel holds, namely that every place that the Torah uses the word beged, it is only referring to tzemer upishtim, and therefore, by extension, when it comes to a sukkah, anything that is derived from a plant, obviously if it's derived from an animal anyway, it's not part of sukkah, because it's not gedulei karka. But anything that is derived from a plant, sheyotzei min ha'etz, is going to be kosher for a sukkah, because it can never be mekabel tuma except for pishtan. Perfect. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel basically are saying the same thing. Rava says now, no. That cannot be true. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, anything which is shalosh al shalosh is not a problem for a sukkah. Now, that implies that if you had cotton, which is yotze min ha'etz, if it's shalosh al shalosh, it's not a problem, but if it's shalosh al shalosha, it is a problem. Which means that according to Rava, the Tana, the Rebbe Lozer, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, is not agreeing with the Tana of Rebbe Yishmael. Because the Tana of Rebbe Yishmael insists that any mention of beged anywhere in the Torah of anything at all in Tuma has got to be referring to tzemer upishtim, not to cotton, not to silk. Okay, so then if that's the case, if we're talking about shloisha al shloisha, it makes no difference. I don't care how big the beged is. It says tzemer upishtim, and it means tzemer upishtim. And therefore, according to Abaye, that's means that according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, it shouldn't matter what size we're talking about. It says that tzemer upishtim twice, as we saw yesterday. Once to tell me, ignore a beged that is shalosh al shalosh, if it's made of anything but tzemer upishtim. And once to tell me, ignore a beged that's even shalosh al shalosh al shalosh, if it's made out of anything but tzemer upishtim. So according to Abaye, there's no way to ever include any other material in tumah at all. Then why, says Rava, explain to me why the heck Reb Shimon ben Elazar insists that only shalosh al shalosh is something that you can use for your sukkah, and not shalosh al shalosh. That's very significant. It must mean that according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, indeed shalosh al shalosh is going to be mekabel tuma for sheretz. I agree that when it comes to negoyim, it says beferish two times, tzemer upishtim, I don't care what size it is. Fine, okay, we're agreed on that. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to other tumas, any type of material is included in the din of beged, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar. The last thing that we had yesterday was, what would be the source of that halacha, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, the way Rava understands him? Because, look, it's clear that in the parsha of Negayim, there is, in fact, no basis for that extension at all. Because we had the two miutim, and we've said, therefore, we cannot make a distinction between 3x3 in terms of shalosh or shalosh, or shloisha or shloisha. So where in the world did Rava understand that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar got it from? Okay, and that's where we got up to yesterday, which are the first words on today's Daf Chav Zayin. And now that you have those things clear, I'm hoping that the ins and outs of these various sugyas will not be confusing. So the last thing, let's start at the beginning of that daf, minalei. Where in the world, according to Rava, does Reb Shimon ben Elazar know that there is an additional 4x4 tvachim, which if you, 3x3 tvachim, I say four because it's four as well, but 3x3 tvachim would be actually, even if it's made out of cotton. Where does he know that from? Says the Gemara, he knows that from a completely different pasuk, which has to do nothing with a tzaraz. It's talking about a sheretz. So it says over there in the pasuk, O beged, O or, O sak, kol kli asher yaseh melacha behem, and b'mayim yuvav etameh ad ha'arev. So it specifies over there the idea of bimotam of sheretz. And it uses the word O beged. O beged is an addition. When you say beged, just say beged. O beged includes even other materials. Ditanya. Now, Rashi says, I don't like that word, Ditanya. Take out that word, Ditanya, because if it's really a braita, then how would Abaya be arguing on it? The other Rishonim say, what do you mean? Abaya's not arguing on that braita. Abaya's just saying that this braita was not said by Reb Shimon ben Elazar. That's all. Okay, whatever. But the idea over here is we darsh in the pasuk. According to Rashi, this is Rava's personal drasha. And okay, according to everyone else, it's actually a braita, like our Girsa. It said, could have said beged in this, the pasuk of Tzorat. But had it said beged, I would have said, okay, that means only that which is defined as a beged elsewhere. How do we know that if it's made out of cotton and it's shlosha al shlosha, it would also be included in Tumas Tzaraz, despite the fact that it is clearly not in Tumas Sheretz, despite the fact that it's clearly not included in Tumas Tzaraz, because the Torah stresses twice over there, Tzemru Pishtim, only Tzemru Pishtim. How do I know that it would be included? Talmud Lomar, O beged. So, says Rava, that's where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel diverge. Wait, so according to Abaye, who says that they do not diverge, how does he understand the use of O beged by the din of Shrotzim, my Avdilei? No, he says, listen, how do you know that the beged by sheretz would include even sholosh al sholosh? Obviously, only if it's made out of tzemru pishtim, because we don't accept any other material. How do you know sholosh al sholosh? So, O beged is necessary to teach me sholosh al sholosh by shrotzim, in the same way that veha beged is necessary to tell me sholosh al sholosh by tzoraz. Says Rava, absolutely not. If the Torah already included Shalosh HaShalosh by Negoim, why would I need a special pasuk to tell me Shratzim? So Goli Rachman Agabi Negoim V'adin LeShratzim. And Abaya says no, because you can't learn out one from the other. Remember, Negoim is much more Chorma than Shratzim. Shratzim will only be Metami a true beget, which is woven. Masha Enkein, the din of Tzaraz, is that it's even Metami Negoim Ishisiva Erev is also Metami, as it says Beferish in the pasuk. Says Rava, look, buddy, if you think that you cannot learn out the din of Shratzim from the Goyim, because the Goyim is more chomor, and therefore the Torah had to give you an extra remez when it came to Shratzim, that Shalosh HaShalosh is Betame even by the Tzemru Pishtim, so then for God's sake, then say it only once. Say it by the Shratzim. You claim the Goyim is more chomor, so then I'll learn out the Negoyim from the Shratzim. Why, Baruch Avram, mute yourself. Why in the world would I need to have first a pasuk by the din of the Goyim, and then say, well, you can't learn sheretz out of the Goyim, because the Goyim is betamish shiva erev, so I need another pasuk, the same ve'abeged, I mean, obeged, the same idea. Then just say it once by sheretz, and I'll learn out the Goyim. Therefore, obviously, it's not true what you're saying. It's ridiculous to say that the Torah would use the same pasuk in two different places to teach me the same halacha if I were able to, if I were unable to learn one from the other. So clearly, Isagadayv Negayim Chamiri, then say it by Shratzim, and I'll learn out Negayim from Shratzim. Says Abaya, I never said that it's only Chomer in one direction. I said you wouldn't be able to learn out Shratzim from Negayim, darn it. But that doesn't mean you could learn out Negayim from Shratzim, because there's another reason why you can't learn out Negoyim from Shratzim. Because on the other hand, you could always say, the size of a Ke'adasha is 1/9 the size of the seer of a Kegris by Negoyim. So therefore, it's much more chomer in a way, shratzim. On the other hand, if you try to do it in the other direction, I'll tell you that negayim is much more chomer because shesiv erev is metame, and it doesn't have to be a woven packet. So you can't learn one out from the other. Okay, Rabbi, stop bothering me. I need two psukim, one by tzaras and one by shratzim, and everything makes perfectly good sense. But you do not have an extra pasuk to tell me about cotton. You only have that extra pasuk to tell me about shalosh ha-shalosh. But we stick with our definition as initially defined by the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, namely, what is the definition of the word beged, tzemro pishtim, and only tzemro pishtim? Don't include anything else. Amar Abayin. Okay, fine. So we're stuck on that. Rav has one approach, Abayin has another approach, says Abayin, but I must admit that there is another Tana in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Shmuel that does not agree with the first Tana of the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, because the following Tana, High Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, actually excludes the limud of the first Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel that I've been talking about. Because the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, this brayta reads like this. Beged, if it says beged, where we're talking about over here specifically the sugya of what is included in the parsha of Kilayim, in Sheretz rather, in Tumas Sheretz, it says over there, it actually doesn't say Beged, it says Obeged. But let's say it only said Beged. So I would have thought that that means Dafka Tzemru Pishtim, the way that it's defined in the Parsha of Tzaras. How do I know to even include camel hair, going to be Mekabel Tuma, our favorite, which is, of course, rabbit, Tzemer Arnavim. How do I know to include notza shel izim? Notza is called notza because izim are plucked and they're not sheared. So we don't call it tzemer, but it's a notza kind of hair thing. Vashiroin, vakelach, vasrikin. Remember, we talked about the different kinds of silk before. We had the machlokas between Rovin and who spotted the beautiful begadim of the brother of the Resh Galusa. And that was the question, is that called mataksa? Is that called kalach? Is it a better quality, lower? But whatever. So these are different types of silks. Talmud Lomar, oh, Beged, oh, my God. Now, according to this Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, basically, we've got a Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel who's coming to include other Begadim in terms of Tumas Sheretz, which is exactly what Rava said, is what the Tana of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar held all along, and is exactly the difference between the initial Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and therefore between the initial Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel and this Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. So basically, Abayi is pointing out, look, I mean, there is somebody who agrees that we expand the definition to include even other types of begadim. Says Rava, nah, there was never a problem. The initial Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, he was only saying that you can't use the din of Tzaras on anything but a beged, of the, and from that we learn out all begadim on anything but semro pishtim. But he was only talking about sholosh al sholosh. When it comes to shlosh al shlosha, the first Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel agreed that you could use other begadim, and therefore there's no contradiction between these two Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Hey, wait a minute, Rava. This is a little bit tricky. You were the one who said before exactly the opposite. I can't believe this. You said the difference between the Reb Shimon ben Elazar and the original Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel is that it's only Reb Shimon ben Elazar who held that we could talk about other begadim, and he learns that out of Sheretz, and that actually the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel does not hold other begadim, even if they're 3x3 tefachim. Now, all of a sudden, you're sitting there saying, oh, well, according to me, it's no problem. I always understood the original Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel as only referring to the problem of Shalosh HaShalosh HaZboz. But, of course, when it comes to Shalosh HaShalosh, Rava, you were the one, Rava, who the Amar Shalosh HaShalosh, B'Shar B'Gadim, the Rav Shimon, Elazar, Yisrael, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Latle. Now, how are you coming along and saying, well, I got no problem? Well, it sort of changed my mind. Okay, so Arabe Rava. So Rava, now that he saw the other Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, so now, I mean, it doesn't make sense to say that they're not consistent if they both learned by Rabbi Shmuel. So, okay, I guess I made a mistake. And actually, the original Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel was only referring to Shalosh al Shalosh and not Shalosh al Shalosh. Okay, so Arabe Rava. Or what you could say is that the second thing that we just quoted over here as a response to the second Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel was really not said by Rava. It was said by Rav Papa, because we know, Rashi puts in De Rav Papa Omar, because we know that Rav Papa said that you have a complete misunderstanding of the entire sugya. What? Yes. Remember that when we were talking about initially, we said, if the Torah defines the nature of beged with a klal and a prat, and it says first beged shebot nega, and then it says betzemru pishtim, that that's an absolute definition of beged. In all places, af kol, all places where the Torah uses the word beged, he doesn't mean all places of tuma, for God's sake. Nach. He meant where the Torah says beged kilayim shatnes. Lo yale alecha. Beged, what does beged mean over there, since it does not define the material? Now note that that sugya of kilayim is unique because it's entirely focused on the nature of mixed materials. So the only place where we're coming to talk about a specific material is kilayim. So therefore, kilayim, I will learn out af kol, where the material is central to the understanding, where we're talking about kilayim, it means temru pishtim, even though it doesn't say temru pishtim, it just says beged kilayim shatnes without defining what I mean by kilayim. Now that's brilliant. In which case, this whole thing was a waste of time. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel wasn't even referring to the dinim of Tuma. It has nothing to do with Reb Shimon ben Elazar at all. Whew, wow, that's a totally different take. So those words, quote, af kol, tzemer upishtim, unquote, did not mean af kol beged betuma. It meant af kol in the din of kilayim. That's latuya kilayim. What? Excuse me. But kilayim, it says beferish in the Torah, tzemeru pishtim. Lo tilbashatnes, tzemeru pishtim yacht. I don't understand. Why in the world would I need to look at the din of tzaras to figure out that kilayim is tzemeru pishtim if the Torah says shatnes means tzemeru pishtim? What's wrong with you? Yes, the Gemara, doesn't it say that beferish? Kilayim be'adyektive. Lo tilbashatnes, tzemeru pishtim yacht. Ah. Now, here's the important idea. There are two completely different sugyas of kilayim. One is lo tilbash sha'atnez tzemer upishtim yachtav. Yes, you can't get more clear than that. I'm defining sha'atnez as tzemer upishtim yachtav. But then we've got an entirely different pasuk that says, beged kilayim sha'atnez lo ya'ale alecha. Now, over there, it does not define what is meant with that word kilayim. Now, it sounds like we're expanding the idea that besides the shatnez that I addressed elsewhere about lo tilbash shatnez, there's also this thing about not getting kilayim, which is also a shatnez type, which I'm not defining to you what that is. Maybe it's any mixture at all. Maybe it's silk and cotton mixtures. Maybe it's polyester. I don't know. So when it says over there, lo yale alecha, don't even let some of that stuff on your toe. Forget about wearing it. So that, I might think, is a new sugya, and it hasn't been defined what is meant over there by beged. Comes along Tzaras to say, now wait a minute, beged is defined where we need to know what material a beged is. I tell you what a material it is, tzemru pishtim. And therefore, I learn out af kol to tell me, even b'halah, it's not true that kol trei minei usur, any type of mixture. Wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Tell me what you think would be more chomer. Wearing a whole baguette where it says lo tilbash tzemru pishtim. That's putting something over your whole body. You're really enjoying it. Or having the corner of a blanket cover your toe. I mean, what do you think is more chomer? So you honestly think that when it says lo tilbash, that over there it's less chomer. And it's only tzemru pishtim, but if you have a little blanket on your toe, then even polyester and cotton. Now, come on, that's ridiculous. Umala vishim is a kavachomer. If levisha, which takes your entire body into consideration, and you're all kilayimed up, and over there you're defining tzemru pishtim, mean mini achrin alone, nothing else. Kol shekein just Allah. So what do you mean? What is Rav Papa saying? That af kol is referring to kilayim? Yeah, you're right. Rav Papa Bedusa, that's... somebody made that up. Nobody intelligent could have said anything so stupid. Forget it. Okay, X that. So it wasn't Rav Papa. So let's go back and say it was Rav. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, wait a minute, I can save the situation. I mean, you're right. Rav Papa is not the way to do it, but I can tell you that Af Kol is not referring to Tumah. It's not referring to Kilayim, obviously. But you know what it is referring to? It's referring to Tzitzit. Doesn't it say Akanfei Bigdechem, right? So what is the Beged? How do you understand Beged when it comes to Tzitzit? Okay, comes along the Torah to say by Tzaraz, Tzemer Upishtim, Af Kol means only a Beged that's made out of Tzemer or Pishtim is Chayev in Tzitzit, nothing else. Excuse me, Malcolm, we have the same problem with you as we had with Rav Papa. By Tzitzit, it also says Beferish for the same reason that it says it by Shatnez. Remember, Gedilim Tazalach is mentioned exactly in the pasuk following Lotu Bashatnez, Tzemru Pishtim Yachdav, Gedilim Tazalach al Arba Kanfot Kisutcha Shetechaseba. That means that the Smichus teaches us that Tzemru Pishtim is, in fact, the entire definition of the Arba Kanfot Kisutcha. So why would I need to learn that out of Tzaras, of all nutty things? I don't need the Af Kol to tell me that. No, it says, wait a minute. I might have thought that actually that is not coming to tell me that only Tzemru Pishtim is Chayev in Tzitzit. I would have thought that that's coming to tell me what Rava says. Rava points out, look, we got a contradiction over here. I mean, it says, the Asulem Tzitzit Ankanfei Bigdeyem Ledorotam. V'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf p'tiot techelet. Now, why does it say al tzitzit hakanaf? It just said at the beginning of the pasuk, asuleim tzitzit hakanfei v'gdeyem. So why does it have to say al tzitzit hakanaf? It could just say asu al tzitzit, because I already said the tzitzit is the kanaf. Oh, says Rava, you know what that's coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me that the tzitzit have to be the same as the kanaf. So if the kanaf is made out of cotton, the tzitzit have to be made out of cotton. If the kanaf is made out of linen, the tzitzit have to be made out of linen. And therefore, you will always have a beautiful beged with an extension into these fringes, which are made out of the same material as the beged. That's what it's coming to tell me. But the problem is that that is a contradiction to the Tzemer Upishtim Yachtav by Kilayim that goes hand in hand with Gedilim Tazelach al Arba Kanfot Kesutcha. So which one is it? Is it silk, cotton, polyester? Or is it that the tzitzis can be Tzemer Upishtim? Which one do we understand? Okay, Tzad. There must be that it's not a contradiction. And the way to understand it is like this. Tzemer Upishtim is the universal material. As we saw yesterday, it's the fundamental material. That's the Darsha Tzemer Upishtim. It refers to the original bifurcation of the development of the human species. That, as a universal material, potters any other more developed material. So you can use Tzemer Upishtim on your silk beged, on your cotton beged, on your polyester beged, whatever you want. You could put on Tzemer Upishtim. But, I mean, you don't have to put on Tzemer Upishtim. If you have silk for a silk beged, if you have polyester for a polyester beged, and so on and so forth, you can use that. But they're not universals. The only one that's universal is Tzemer Upishtim. Now I ask you, says Rav Nachman, if I would not have had that parsha of Negoim, I would have thought that, yes, Rava is right. And it's coming to talk about the difference between a universal Ptur of Tzitzit and a specific Kanaf. But he's wrong, because comes along the Pasuk of Tzaraz to say, Af Kol Tzemer Upishtim. So I might have thought, Salkadai Tachkira Rava, that all other minim, only the own mean potters, but it still needs a Tzitzit. Kamash Malan, Afko, wherever the Torah says Beged, which one of those places is, to put it Al Kanfei Bigdechem, what Bigdechem? Tzemer Upishtim. Not like Rava is saying that it's talking about what the tzitzit are made out of, it's talking about what the Beged is made out of. Fine. Okay, so gradually we're building up a theory of our interrelationship with Beged, in terms of the extension of the tumas of our body to Beged, in terms of the extension of the Beged into the world with Cheles, Lavan, and so on and so forth, and in terms of its relationship to our Das, which is Legabi, the din of different Tumas Begadim, which goes directly back to the Sukkah, which goes directly back to Maaseh Bereishis and the Eid, the original Das of Adam, who needs to be Mispalel for Geshomim. This becomes Shabbos and Ptilot and Shmanim for Shabbos in terms of Tama Eitz, Ketama Pri, and therefore the entire Sugya is very profoundly primal. And if you allow yourselves to get the sense of how all of these different issues interrelate, you'll notice they interrelated before. We talked about Matir Mibeged Lebeged for Tzitzis when we were talking about Hanukkah and when we were talking about Ner Shabbos. It's not a coincidence that we're still talking about Tzitzis. And now we're talking about those Tzitzis in terms of Kol HaYotzim and HaEitz in Madlikimbo. So it's all the Petil Techelet is the Petil for the Shabbos, is the Petil for the Hanukkah, is the Petil of the Beis HaMikdash for the menorah, and so on and so forth, right? So all of these things clearly are interrelated. Now, getting back to the Sugya, I have the simple explanation. We never were talking about Tuma in the first place. Anyway, comes on Rav Acha Bereda Rava and says to Rav Ashi, listen, I'd like to understand how it is that we look at that first Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. How exactly do we divide between Tuma, and there we are saying Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, the new one, clearly says other types of begadim are included because it says Obeged. But when it comes to Tzitzit, the way that Reb Nachman is explaining it, we also have the equivalent of Obeged. I mean, not the exact words Obeged, but we certainly have a completely unnecessary pasuk, because why in the world does the Torah say Asher Techaseba? I mean, what else is a Beged for? Obviously, it's Asher Techaseba. So why would we mention in the din of the Tzitzit the Beged Asher Techaseba? Larbakan Fotkisutcha Asher Techaseba? So Asher Techaseba is obviously a ribuy. Anything that you use to cover yourself, right? So that should include, we'd be back to the other issue, if Obeged includes other materials, then Asher Techaseba should also include other materials. So why are we suddenly saying that, no, when it comes to tzitzis, we can't include other materials? Oh, says the Gemara, you're right. Absolutely, it does include other things, but not other materials. You know what it includes? It includes a blind individual. Because you might have thought, look, it says uri'itemoto. When it talks about the Petil Techelet, it says uri'itemoto. So I would have said that uri'itemoto comes to tell me that if you're blind, you do not have a chiyav of wearing tzitzit. Instead, the Braita said, uri'itemoto means if you have something that is a night clothing, then you are not chayav in tzitzit. Now, there's big machlokas. What do you mean night clothing? So night clothing, according to the Rambam, means something that you are currently wearing at night, not something which is made specifically for night. So if you're wearing your pajamas in the day, sometimes rebbes even do this because they're up all night speaking to their petitioners. So over there, according to the Rambam, you would be chayav in tzitzit, because you're wearing it in the daytime, and it only has to do not with the kind of thing, but the type of thing, but rather when you're wearing it. The Rosh Hashita is no. Pajamas in the daytime are potter, and a talis at the nighttime is chayev. So lemaisa, we end up paskening lechumra, so to speak, and therefore it becomes a suffix brochas, and we will not make a brocha even on a kosher talis at night, because of the Rambam. On the other hand, we will not make a bracha on the pajamas in the day because of the rush. So we end up being machmer in both directions and being mekel legabe the bracha. Okay, actually, it's interesting because the Ran says both are right. Both a beged in the day that was meant for the night and then that day beged worn at night, both of them would have been putter or would be putter. Okay, in any event. So this is what the pasuk is going to Temoto comes to tell me. It cannot be a night beged. Now, why do you say that, says the Braita? Maybe it means uri'itemoto, but if you're blind, you're not chayiv. Well, what do you mean? It says asher techaseba. That's that extra pasuk that is coming to be marbe, someone who is blind. So Arexut Suma is included already. So then why does it say Ritemoto? The only thing that it could mean is to exclude something that I wear at night. Now, why do you think it's more reasonable to include a blind person, but to exclude an invisible beged, that is to say a night beged? Maybe let's say the other way, that the invisible beged is included, but the invisible eye of the blind person is not included. Well, because Marbeani Ksutsumash Yeshna Briha Itzalacharim. Look, the owner of the beged may not be able to see the beged, but that doesn't change the nature of the beged. Everybody else can see that beged. And therefore, it's more reasonable that the beged should be defined by its begedness in the world rather than the owner who can't see it. And Motziani Ksut Laila, which because of the fact that it's nighttime is not, or because it's made for only wearing in the nighttime, is not included in the universal beggedness which other people would see. Okay, I understand if your only question is the difference between including the blind or including the night. But why did we start off with that? I asked you a question. I said, why don't we use the Pasuk Asher Techaseba to include cotton, to include polyester, to include other things besides tzemru pishtim? And you say, well, because I needed to include the beged of a blind man. Why is that more reasonable than to expand on the tzemru pishtim? And that's you haven't answered to me. So I'm still asking you, Emel Rabot Shar Begadim, forget about blind people or blind begadim. Why not just include a broadening of the definition of the material like we did when it came to sherets and everything we did? Well, because, I mean, what do you think is more reasonable? We're in the middle of discussing Tzemru Pishtim, and we add Asher Techaseba. So what does Asher Techaseba come to say? Well, even though I said Tzemru Pishtim, it's not Tzemru Pishtim. I mean, that's pretty sicko. If it means, when I say Tzemru Pishtim, oh yes, I absolutely mean Tzemru Pishtim, but I don't mean Ritemoto literally. Now, which one is more reasonable? Well, obviously, if I'm dealing with Tzemru Pishtim, so then I'm going to include something that is still part of Tzemru Pishtim. Would I be in the middle of dealing with Tzemru Pishtim and now suddenly be Marva, and I don't really mean Tzemru Pishtim? It's not reasonable. Anyway, so now getting back to Abaye. So now Abaye says there's something else that I think is very interesting about Reb Shimon ben Elazar. My first point was, that we learned yesterday, my first point was that Reb Shimon ben Elazar and the Tana Devei Reb Yishmael are basically saying the same thing. We're only including Pishtan in the problem of putting on the sukkah, right? Today I want to say something else, which is that Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who implies that even though something is not going to be makabel tuma sheretz or any type of tuma other than tzaraz, that's enough to make the sukkah pasul. Because you do not need something that is universally susceptible to tuma. You need something which is susceptible to some tuma. That's the point. Okay. That, I want you to know, I mean, that's a chiddush, because you might have thought it needs to be mamish tuma in general, not just the special tuma tzaraz. Well, Sumchis basically says the same thing. So when I'm talking about Rabbi Shimon Elazar, I mean what we just said before on Daf Chof Vav, right? I said, did I say over there, kol ha-yotzim min ha-eitz chutz mi beget pishtim? No. I said chutz mi pishtan. Now pishtan means raw flax, baby. Doesn't mean a beget. And that is only shayach to this issue where we learn out from the Shasi or Erev by Pishtim that we learn out in Tzaraz. So you see that that itself is enough to mess up your sukkah. Sumchis basically says the same thing because Sumchis Omer, Sichecho b'tfi, if you used flax that was spun, that itself is enough to pasul. Mipnei shemitam'a b'negaim. Since it is metame b'negaim, it does not need to be metame anything else in order for it to be tame. So therefore, he is basically saying the same thing that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said. Now, where do we know that from? Where is the basis to that? Ki hotana detnan. Shesi ve'erev metame begodim miyad. Divrei Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Hashasi mi sheyishale. Yishale means that it's taken out of the hot pot that they would put it into in order to bleach them, basically. I mean, the hot water itself turns it white when it comes to the linen. And the Erev, we're talking about over here even wool. The Erev is right after you made it into Tvi, but where you're talking about linen, over there, the unin shel pishtan, even the pishtan that is not as yet spun. This is the way Rashi learns it. And when Rashi says, when he said tvi, he didn't mean necessarily, it means even to be spun, because it could just be pishtan in terms of the unin. This is Rashi's approach. Tosfos disagrees. He says unin means that it is spun. But anyway, if you're talking about flax, raw flax that you put into an oven, remember we had before that one of the things you do for it is you have to stick it into the oven. We had the question earlier about whether you have to be cheshesh, maybe you're going to be chayta b'gecholim, and we said that because of the fact that any air that gets into the oven is going to mess up the process, you're going to be very careful not to open the oven. Again, you see how all of these circuits have been with us from the very beginning of the issues of what we're doing on Erev Shabbos all the way through, which is a pretty incredible coincidence. So over here, when we're talking about the unin shel pishtan that are in the oven, when they are finished turning white, mishi yitlabnu, so this is clearly what Reb Yehuda says, is clearly the marker for what we just said in Reb Shimon ben Elazar. That even though Reb Shimon ben Elazar talks about not beged, he says just plain pishtan, even just plain pishtan is enough to ruin a sukkah because of the fact that it could be makabel tumas saras, and that itself was the chiddush. Whew. Now, I admit I took longer than usual. However, I really believe that this stuff is not hard, but it's complicated. So just to remind you again, we've got a lot of different issues over here. We have Tuma when it comes to Tzaras, which is 100% excluded from anything but Semru Pishtim, because the Torah mentions it twice by Tzaras. We have Tuma by Sheretz, which includes other Begonim as well for Tuma. And that comes from the O Beget. And again, these are the possibilities. Not everybody agreed with every one of them. We have the difference between Shalosh and Al-Shalosh and Shlosha Al-Shlosha. This also ends up being a machlokas, because the question is whether we're deriving it from only one pasuk and it's adding only for shlosha al shlosha, the way Rava understood it, or the way we were talking about in Rav Papa, since it's just anyway, we never excluded other materials. So if Tzemru Pishtim is shlosha al shlosha, all materials would be shlosha al shlosha. Then we had the sugya of what do we mean by the Isra of Levisha of Shatnez. Is there two completely different dinim, one of which is with Shatnez Tzemru Pishtim, which is true about Beged Lo Tilbash, the other which may be a general kilayim, which is Lo Yale Alecha, which I need to learn out of Tzaraz. We threw that possibility out. What about tzitzit? How do we find beged by tzitzit? Well, turns out it's a big machlokas. Whether it's dafka tzemru pishtim or whether it's like Rava said, min kanaf, anything. How do we define the strings of the tzitzit? Are the strings of the tzitzit only tzemru pishtim, or could they be made out of other begadim that are shayach to the kanaf? Also, a machlokas, depending how we understand the pasuk of this interrelationship. So the question of what we mean when we talk about a beged is very mista'ef. It has to do, therefore, with the psul of a sukkah. It has to do with the chiyuv of tzitzit. It has to do with kabbalas tuma in all places where it talks about a beged. And it has to do with the tuma of tzaras. And it's because of that that we got a little bit of confused between all these various issues when we were talking about the petilot that had to do with Shabbos. It gets a little bit more confusing when suddenly we switch once again from the ptilah to the contents of what's in the tree, which has to do with the various types of resins that we were speaking about before, and the amranita that we spoke about, which would be a type of actual ptilah, as opposed to the type of resin that might come from the same tree, and one may be kosher and the other one may not be kosher, but they're talking about two different sugyas. And as we're going to be discussing tomorrow, the continuation of our sugya into Shabbos once again, what is unique about Pishtan when it comes to Hadlokas Ner Shel Shabbos? All right, so for this, we meet again, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow at happy times as today. And I suppose I didn't leave you enough time for our Kalim today, but what can you do? It happens. So I look forward, Bezrat Hashem, if the good Lord spares us all, everyone should be well. We should know nothing from Kol HaMachalash, Asamtal Mitzrayim, Lo Asim Alecha, instead, Asimim Aloivecha. We've got lots of people who, as I always say, they never will be missed. I have a little list. And so we pray that the Machala will spare the Kiddushe B'nai Yisrael, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves so much. May we be included in them and hear only good things from each other. See you tomorrow morning, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you so much for coming. It's wonderful to see you. Kol Tov.